You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a professional motivational speaker, Nancy can assist you to blow through your setbacks and start living full out. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfullout.com. Once again, here's Nancy.
Hello, I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we are talking about feeling loved, how it can open doors. And I'm telling you, I am all about this love stuff, but it is really important that, you know, we allow ourselves to feel loved by people in our family, our friends. You can have a huge love fest at work, but when you are in that place, you feel safe, you feel confident, you feel supported, doors will open. And so that is the lane that I want all of you to be in. I want to make sure that if you need support, you reach out to us at connect@livingfullout.com. Also, remember, you can hear today's show again and all of our episodes by going to livingfullout.com. And in our next segment, our inspirational guest, Colin Hughes, he's going to talk about how he had three dreams. I'm not going to give them away, but he was able to nip away at each of those dreams while at the same time battling, trying to earn love in his life. And why I say earned, you'll understand later, because love is not a guarantee. It is not served up on a silver platter. You know, you have to find love. You have to nurture love. You have to, you know, really look for it in places sometimes that are not obvious. So I want to make sure that everybody is really listening in to his interview. Now, I'm getting word from our producer that we do have a listener on the line. We're going to go say hello to them. Hello, welcome to the Living Full Out Show. Hi, welcome to the show. Hi, how can I help you?
So I have a question regarding being a student in college.
Okay.
And here's my question. As a full-time student and working part-time, I'm having a little bit of trouble kind of balancing the life between the two. Do you have any advice for me?
So what is so hard about it? What is the, like, if you had, like, number one thing, the one thing that just makes it so exhausting or makes you kind of trip and fall, what is that?
So I find that having a work life and having a school life are very polar opposite things, because I have to focus a majority, or rather a full of my attention, on one or the other. Mm-hmm. And I find it really frustrating trying to, in a sense, transit from one mindset to the other. I'll mm-hmm. give you an example. I currently work, and in context, I work at a dental office, and I have to essentially assert all of my time and effort into that. And then when coming home after the full 8-hour shift, I'm so exhausted. And it's kind of troubling to transit from a working mindset into a learning mindset. Mm-hmm. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm so glad that you gave me those examples of where you work. So what are you studying to do? What is your life's passion?
I'm actually working in a community college. I'm studying. And I'm currently studying social psychology and behavioral sciences.
Okay, so it's not to say that you're studying to become a dentist. That is literally just the job you do during the week, right? That job. Okay, so the thing that you have to do is think about two things. And number one, and actually men do this actually very well, but you want to compartmentalize your energy, and you have to think about the why. So each of these need their own compartment. They need their own bucket. You can't blend the two. Because when you're at the dentist's office, okay, and what do you do there? Are you reception, or do you help them? Do you work with client patients? What do you do?
I'm kind of a jack of all trades. I don't work directly with the patients in the chair.
Okay.
But I am designated as a patient coordinator. So in that sense, I'm responsible for talking to the patients, helping them with their finances, and helping them to essentially teach and prevent a lot of extensive and preventative work in the future.
Okay, so what you do, what you calculate, what you write, what you research, all the work that you do does impact the client, does impact the company, right? Retains patients, all of that. So when I say compartmentalize and kind of put them in two separate buckets, is you have to think about your why. Like, yes, you're doing that job to make money, But life cannot just be about money. You have to look at your part of that puzzle, your part of that team, that family, that office. And you have to think about that patient that walks through that door. And everything's a mess. They don't know what they can afford. They're feeling stressed. And all of a sudden, here you are, behind the scenes, alleviating that stress. I wish there were more people like you in dental offices, because they're not always on target, right? Now, going over to your school, you also have to put that in its own bucket. You have to, on those days when you just don't want to study, when you're so exhausted, you have to think about, after you graduate, who you're going to serve and impact. So, like, for example, when you graduate, if you had a profession, and what would it be? Who would you be?
Actually, I was thinking of being a dentist myself.
Oh, so you do want to be a dentist. All right. Well, then that makes this easier. Where I was going with that, if it wasn't that you wanted to be a dentist, then you have to think about, for your schooling, the patients, the people that would miss out if you don't do your best. So it's always kind of looking down the line at you just really polishing up the diamond you are. Because right now you're polishing, you're getting stronger, you're building, you're developing, you're maturing. But at the other end of the rainbow are these patients that will be so lucky to have you. So lucky that out of all the dentists that they chose the one that worked in a dentist's office his entire, you know, college career. They chose someone who is the jack of all trades. We're just going to say you're the master of all, right? But you can't have one without the other. You can't be that dynamic dentist that we know you're going to be without going through this exhausting time where you're tested, you're polished. Do you see that? But I really want you to think about that patient that is, they don't know you yet, but they're rooting for you to hang in there, study one more hour, hang in there, you know, keep working at that dentist's office, you know, learn as many jacks of those trades as you can, because it's going to impact them. Do you see that?
I did.
Now, that doesn't exactly cure the exhaustion, right? It doesn't exactly cure the time management, but it makes it a lot easier to stomach the long days when you know that it all leads to something, that it all means something, because it can't just be about the money. And it can't just be kicking the tire and I'm just going to try to do this internship or do that job and just kind of muscle through it. When you get to the other side and you see that, you really visualize that patient that is so excited that they have you as their dentist, that's what you're looking for. So if you can do that, also just, you know, be good to yourself, okay? If you're finding that you're stressed out, take a walk, honestly. I know you might think I just need to study for another 10 minutes. You know what? Give your brain a break and take a nap. Take a walk. Stretch your legs. I think sometimes we have these expectations that we have to go, 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 check those boxes. And your heart, your mind, your self-care should be number one. Okay? So I really appreciate you calling in, though, and I hope that was helpful.
Likewise, this is a very enlightening conversation.
Well, thank you, and I will be looking for you in the directory. Maybe you'll be my dentist one day down the line.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye. Yeah, love that he asked that question, right? Because, you know, today we're talking about, you know, when we're loved, it opens doors. So it's kind of like loving your full-time or part-time job. What can we love about it? What can we find where we're bringing purpose, where we're making a difference? That is love, loving our patients, loving our bosses, loving our coworkers. It makes just the entire experience of being somewhere sometimes tolerable, but it definitely makes it more rewarding. And then you also got to think about, you know, how being loved opens doors when it comes to just having a more dynamic life experience. You know, a lot of times my clients, coaching clients, will come to me and they'll just be exhausted. They'll feel like they're running in circles, and then all of a sudden they'll be like, you know what, I don't have any more to give. And I get that. But when you know your why, when you surround yourself with love, when you love what you're doing, when you're living on purpose, it will give you the energy, the drive to open those doors, in fact, bust through those doors so that you can live full out. Now, stay with us. We're gonna be coming up next with our inspirational guest, Colin Hughes. Again, great story, very inspirational. Can't wait to share it with you. I am Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be right back after this break.
Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Watch out!
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A teenager. Learning the lingo.
Today, I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous, as in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit adoptuskids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a life coach, Nancy can teach you how to stay strong under pressure and work through challenges you face. Being legally blind, Nancy inspires others to be resilient in overcoming obstacles and live full out. You can ask Nancy for advice in your life on relationships, finance, business, health, and more. Just call in at 800-333-0001. Once again, that's 800-333-0001. Now, here's Nancy.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I am Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about how being loved can open doors. And sometimes we have to look for those opportunities to love, to let others love us in order for those doors to open. But we chose an inspirational guest today for whom really his desire to be loved has taken his entire life. And he's had to make some big decisions in terms of letting some love go and making a few mistakes here and there, but who hasn't? But I really appreciate Colin Hughes' honesty in his journey to find love and to find peace and his efforts to live full out. So I'd like to welcome Colin to the show.
Thank you so much, Nancy. How are you today?
Oh, I am good. So happy to be here with you. And I meant what I said, Colin. You've really lived the life, and you haven't done everything right. You'd probably be the first to admit that. But what I appreciate about your story is how humble you are today, how much you've grown. And our audience will more understand that as we go along. So I just want to kind of set the tone here. So, you know, you kind of got a rough shake in life a little bit. I know you and your older sister were both adopted. And, you know, in a perfect world, you would have been adopted into two parents that really wanted to be parents. But you didn't. You got adopted into a drunk father, a mean father, and a mother who didn't protect you. And there was one night when you were about seven that really took an epic turn. What happened there?
My father came home drunk, late for dinner, and my mother had left the dinner sitting on the table and just kind of snarkily told him that, you know, his dinner's there ready for him. And he just throws it across the kitchen, went downstairs, and got out his 12-gauge shotgun with a pump action on it. And I'll never forget the clicking sound of that shotgun pumping it, loading a shell up into the chamber. And they're yelling at each other. And my mother yells to my sister and I to go to our bedrooms, you know, and hide or whatever it was she told us. And I just, the only thing I remember after that is I crawled out the window of my bedroom and ran across the yard. It was a huge yard. We lived on a farm, so out in the country. And then I remember walking back towards the house, but I can't remember anything about that night after that. He didn't shoot anybody, but we were all fearful for our lives.
Well, and that is very unsettling as a youngster. You know, here you're supposed to be protected by these parents, your adoptive parents, but, you know, they had you running for your life, which is the opposite of love. And you really were trying to find love. You tried to find it in an early, early marriage that fast start, fast finish. It ended quickly as well.
Right.
And there was an opportunity, though, where you were looking for more. If you couldn't find love in a wife and you couldn't find love in parents, you know, where could you find love? And you found religion. You found church. Tell us about how you found that.
Well, at the time, I was just wondering about, you know, my mother, every week on Sunday would take us down to this little church out in the country. You know, I had, you know, kind of a generic understanding of God. And I started wondering about more about God, and I started going to different churches and asked, you know, I wanted to find the right church for me. And it seems like every minister would tell me, says, well, here's what we believe, and here's why, and here's where you can find it. You know, just seems like with the same answer from everyone I talked to. And then one day I was at a rodeo, back in my bull riding days. I was at a rodeo and saw a friend of mine I hadn't seen in a long time. And he invited me to stay at his house until I went on to the next rodeo, which is going to be a couple of weeks because in the winter when there wasn't a lot going on. And on the way to his house, he's talking about religion. I think, oh, great, Bill's Bible thumper. And he's going on. He says, well, I have two young men who can come out and talk to you if you'd like. I'm staying at the guy's house. I better do it. And it was missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And I'll never forget, Elder Horman, after a couple of lessons about the church, he said something to me I'll never forget. He says, if you really want to know what's true, don't ask the minister down the street. Don't ask your friend here that you're staying with, Bill. His name was actually Bill Smith. And he says, if you really want to know, get down on your knees and you pray. And you ask your Heavenly Father if these things are true. And when he said that, I could just feel the power in the words.
Hmm. You know, you needed that power. You needed that safety. And you found it, and it was a gift. But life does go on. You went on.
Yes.
You know, you went on actually to have several different relationships, and I know you were a bull rider and very good at it, but with that lifestyle came drinking. And you know, you had your father as an example. You know, he was a womanizer, he was an alcoholic, and here you were turning into one yourself.
Correct.
Yet you had this power. I imagine you felt pretty tormented between the two.
It, I don't know how to describe it. I thought I had I was in rodeo, guys use smokeless tobacco a lot. Mine was Copenhagen. And I threw the can of Copenhagen away because didn't go back to it. That was easy to pass up. No big deal. And for a little while, you know, I went on without the drinking and without the needing physical contact with other women. And then, you know, as I found, I thought, oh, once I get married, it's going to be easy. You know, we're married now. And, you know, I'm just this young, naive, ignorant individual. And, boy, I found out you got to put more work into a marriage than what I thought. And I got to find release for the stress I'm feeling.
Well, and Colin, that's honest. I mean, that's honest. I think that's why marriage is so sacred when you find the right partner. But it's, you know, and it makes sense given the way that you were raised and the atmosphere that you were in. Now, I want you to stay with us, Colin, and for everybody else, we have so much more to his story, you know, about, you know, how he had to find love. He had to earn love. And that allowed him to open doors to being happy, to accomplishing three of his dreams over his life. So Colin, stay with us. Everybody, I'm Nancy Soleri. This is the Living Full Out Show. We'll be right back.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The only thing I didn't learn today.
The only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Nancy Soleri, certified life and business coach. I want to invite you to the Personal Development Bootcamp. During the bootcamp, we're going to be looking at taking those insecurities that you have and getting rid of them. We're also going to look at ways in which you can thrive and live a life full of purpose. Go to livingfullout.com/bootcamp, livingfullout.com/bootcamp to sign up. I believe in you, and here's to you living your life full out.
They'll challenge your authority. They'll try to break your will. They'll push you to the edge of your sanity. Because that's what kids do. But this car is your territory, not theirs. Defend it. Who makes the payments? Who cleans it? Who drives it? You do. That's who. And in here, your word is law. So when you say you won't move until everyone's buckled up, you won't budge an inch. Until you hear that click. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. For more information, visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it twice a day.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it in the morning and before dinner.
I get it, slip it, cuff it, check it, and share it with my doctor.
Nearly 1 in 2 U.S. adults have high blood pressure. That's why it's important to self-monitor your blood pressure in 4 easy-to-remember steps. It starts with a monitor.
Now that I know my blood pressure numbers, I talked with my doctor. We're getting those numbers down.
Get it, slip it, cuff it, check it. Talk to doctor now and share it.
Be next to talk to your doctor about your blood pressure numbers. Get down with your blood pressure. Self-monitoring is power. Learn more at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. With Nancy's expertise, you'll learn how to embrace your potential and strive for success. If you have a question or need further support, send us an email at connect@livingfullout.com. Now, here's Nancy.
Welcome back. I'm Nancy Soleri, and this is the Living Full Out Show. And today we're talking about how being loved can open doors. And our inspirational guest today, Colin Hughes, is, you know, very vulnerably sharing with us, you know, his journey to finding love. And I'd like to welcome Colin back to the show.
Well, thank you again.
Absolutely. Now, you know, marriage is hard, but it's harder when there's infidelity. And you had been married multiple times over your life here, but there was one marriage where you had been unfaithful. You did come clean, but you'd had, you know, 4 daughters with this this wife, and that marriage, you know, as it ended, you ended up giving your rights away to those girls. She had met a man, retired military. He adopted them because he had obviously insurance and different things that he could provide for them. And that's very kind and selfless that you did that. But at the same time, in doing so, you did lose those rights. And I think what you thought you were gonna have in terms of relationship with them ended up not transpiring. You sadly found yourself in another marriage where you were married again for several years and had a son. And that was a bit of a spiteful marriage from her side to you. But right. Once again, you had to give up rights for him. Why was that?
That's harder to talk about. Doing both was, you know, the hardest thing I'd ever done in my life. And with my son, I was being the type of husband and father that I know that I needed to be. You know, I was loving. I was kind. I never raised my voice. I talked through love and patience, you know, with my son. And, what I went through, what brought on the divorce is I was working at a trucking company at the time, and the three of us, you know, my then wife and my son, who's, you know, like about four years old at the time, we're driving down a highway. A truck driver pulls up behind us. I was a fleet manager at this trucking company, and this truck comes up behind us, and he's got less than a car length behind us, between us. And there was nowhere for us to pull over to get out of his way. It's just a two-lane highway, and he just stayed there. And he finally, he pulled up a gun and showed it to us in the window. I could see it in the rearview mirror. And when I got back to work later, this is on a weekend, and then on Monday I got back to work, and I was on the phone with this angry truck driver. He just kept going on and on, and I had a panic attack right there. I just, you know, here was this, and I started having nightmares about the night that when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to get help with it, and I just fell apart. I was having all these nightmares, and emotionally I just fell apart. And one day my wife came home and, you know, says, I can't remember the type of job she had, but was at a treatment center of some kind. She just comes home and says, I work with sick people all day long, and I'm not going to come home to a sick husband. Get out. And she just did everything she could to not let me be in his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time I went for visitation. She had him hidden. And she was telling all these lies about me to the court. And I didn't want to put him through seeing his mother and father. I didn't want to put him through the battle of custody over him. It just wasn't fair to him. And, you know, I remember one time on the phone where I'm talking to her about picking him up for visitation, and she's going on and on. I don't know what she's going on about.
Mm-hmm.
And then she stops and she calms down and says, you know, I would never say anything negative about you in front of him. But yet he was standing right there next to her, and I just, well, you
yeah.
just did, because he's standing right there and he heard everything you just went through on your rant.
Well, and Colin, you were loving. You were really loving to him, and I know ultimately you did sign over rights just so he wasn't caught in the tug of war. But the thing is, you know, your journey for love, you loved your girls, you loved your son. And, you know, you had all these dreams of being a cowboy, which you did. You were a rodeo, right? You had a dream of becoming a pilot, which you did. You know, you had a dream of becoming an actor. Today, you're a voiceover actor.
Voice actor,
so,
yes.
Yeah, but when it came to love, you really longed for it. You searched for it. And you found it in Jean Marie, your current wife, and you're very loyal to her.
Yes.
And you, after losing and giving over the rights to all your kids, the five kids, you found the love of your grandchild, who sadly this year, in June, took her life.
Yes.
And I'm very sorry, Colin, I'm very sorry. But do you still feel her love today?
Oh, absolutely. She was this amazing young woman with, you know, 15 years old, about to turn 16. And always smiling and laughing. We took her to Hawaii on vacation when she was 12, and it was the most enjoyable vacation I'd ever had in my life. With my, well, all the vacations I had with my wife were enjoyable, but you know, enjoyed having my granddaughter with us, and it was just so amazing. She was such a wonderful young lady.
Now, you and her have a very similar smile. You know, when people see pictures of you, your grandchild is just a carbon copy smile of you. The thing is, Colin, why I appreciate how honest you are is because you didn't do everything right in life. But through your grandchild, through being truly faithful to Jean Marie, you have figured out how to love. And if you could go back and give that 7-year-old boy who ran out that window advice, what would you tell him?
I would just hold him and say, don't be afraid. God is watching over you, and he is preserving you for something great. Mm-hmm. And you are loved. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. And you're going to learn about him later in life, of what the love is truly all about.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing is you are patching things slowly but surely with your daughters. One day, hopefully, your son more. And again, you've got Jean Marie by your side. And, you know, I think myself, in hearing your story, by you growing, by you turning to your faith, by you really becoming very vulnerable to love and trusting in love, you know, that is what opened opportunities. Because now, you know, you're not doing voiceover work for your own ego. Why are you doing that today?
I'm doing voice acting because, well, I love it. I enjoy it. I've always been good with my voice. After I stopped riding bulls, I announced rodeos for several years. But throughout my life, you know, throughout those days of announcing rodeos, public speaking that I've done, I've always wondered, why have I been given this gift that I can get behind a microphone in front of thousands of people and say, oh yeah, I'm about to have some fun. Or I get in my sound booth and record something. Yeah, this is fun. I really enjoy it. There's been so many times throughout my life where God has literally saved me. When I was that small child, my family and I were at this lake, and I got caught in this little whirlpool action of water, and it picked me under and under and under, and I couldn't get out and was in shallow water, and I just couldn't stand up or get out. Someone reached in, and he grabs me by the arm, and he pulls me out, and I can't remember, you know, if we even talked, but I ran over to my parents, and I told them what just happened, and they says, oh, no, there's nothing like that in this water. You're safe. And so I went to the picnic area next to ours where this man had gone over to and asked around about him and tried to find him, and nobody knew who I was talking about. And there's been other times, you know, similar instances where I knew, I could see now that God had his hand in saving my life. You know, I was just inches from being run over by a car that was going about 60, 70 miles an hour. And
so So, Colin, with knowing that God has been looking out for you, with knowing that you've made all these twists and turns and kind of very difficult decisions when it came to your kids, You know, when it really comes down to it, with this new lease on life, I mean, you know, even most recently, you've battled renal cancer. You know, you have really fought the fight to get to where you are, and now you are loved, now you are safe, and now you're, you know, hopefully cancer-free. But what right. does living full out mean to you?
Well, living full out is just, when I got the call about my granddaughter, I knew instantly why I had been saved, and that is to spread suicide awareness, to be there for people who feel down. Living full out is, you go for your dream. You know what a dream is. You go after it. You do what you love, and you love what you do.
You know what, Colin?
Despite all the hardships.
You know what, Colin? You just summed it up right there. You dream big, and you go for it. And I want to thank you so much for being on today's show. You are truly a gift. Thank you so much. And for everybody, it is all about living full out. It's about being loved, and doors will open. We'll be back.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at autismspeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. UVA rays age the skin, UVB rays burn, and both cause cancer. But the perfect sunscreen doesn't count if you use it wrong. Don't need sunscreen on a cloudy day? Wrong. 80% of UV rays still get through the haze. Only use sunscreen at the beach? Nope. Anytime you're outside, UV rays attack the skin, so you need protection. And you have to reapply sunscreen every 2 hours. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Right now, our country feels divided, but there's a place where people are coming together.
I gotta tell you, I was nervous to talk to someone so different than me.
Me too, but I'm glad we are.
Love Has No Labels and One Small Step are helping people with different political views, beliefs, and life experiences come together through conversation, and it feels good.
Wow, your story is so...
Interesting?
Yeah.
When people actually sit down, talk, and listen to one another, they can break down boundaries and connect as human beings. At lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep, you can listen to amazing, life-changing conversations and find simple tools to start a conversation of your own.
I know one thing. This conversation gives me hope.
It gives me a lot of hope, too.
Take a step toward bringing our country and your community together by having the courage to start a conversation at lovehasnolabels.com/onesmallstep. A message from StoryCorps, Love Has No Labels, and the Ad Council.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
If you're wondering, how do I open the door so that I can have the career I want? Well, you gotta love what you wanna do. How do I open that window to the relationship I so desire to have? You gotta take a risk and ante up and not feel like you're holding back. When you love big, doors will open as you live full out.
You're listening to Living Full Out with Nancy Soleri. As a professional motivational speaker, Nancy can assist you to blow through your setbacks and start living full out. If you have an inspirational story you want to share, email us at connect@livingfulloutcom. Once again, here's Nancy.
Well, here we are wrapping up the show. Gosh, it goes so fast, but we are talking today about how being loved can open doors. And honestly, sometimes love is scary. You know, I hear guests all the time who, you know, put themselves out there if they have a disability and they're worried that, you know, what will somebody think? Or, you know, if they put themselves out there in their career, you know, are people going to think they're silly? And the thing is, I say get silly, be bold, and just go out there and just yum, 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 gobble up love. Because that's really what it comes down to. You're, at the end of the day, it's not about the accolades, it's not about how much money you make, it's not about what title you have. You know, even being a good person, that is a good thing, but there, you know, that isn't gonna win it all for you either. You know, at the end of the day, it is love. It is looking for opportunities in your day where you can make someone smile, where you can help someone feel more safe or feel heard. And those make it almost like a competition, like a game every day. Today, I am going to see how many people I can make smile, that I can listen to, and that I can give them words of positive affirmation. And, you know, even in the littlest way, let's just say our four-legged love bugs, right? My Charlie, my Frost, I can see them smile. There's nothing sweeter than a dog smile, right? When they're panting, their jaws dropped, right? I know they smile when they have time with me. But you can even give love to your little love bugs. Now, what I want you to think about as we round out today's show is I want you to think about where in your life you could increase that love meter. Now, maybe you're doing really, really good at work. That's great. That's really good. But let's look at your personal relationships. You know, are there some people that you constantly have been, that maybe they've called you and you said, yeah, I'll call you back, and you never do, right? That person deserves love. I'll tell you what, somebody called me out one time when I said, oh, can I call you back? And I forgot. And they came right charging at me the next day, upset because I didn't call them back. And I learned on that conversation that, you know, people's time is important. What that person said, what they wanted to tell me, maybe they wanted to share something from their heart. Like, I didn't want anybody to ever think that I was too busy for them. So I learned a lot, and I thanked that friend for setting me straight. So you got to think about, in your life, are you showing love in the best way you can? And sometimes love isn't about talking. It's not about being the loudest person in the room. Sometimes love can just be shown by doing a kind gesture. I remember back when I was in my early 20s, and I just had a whole string of just twisty, turny things that had happened. And my dad was sick, and this and that. And I will never forget, I had to miss a lot of work because I had my own injuries that I was dealing with. And a friend of mine left a check for $1,000. And I was like, wow, that is really kind. Now, I paid that friend back, but it was kind. And so you just want to give in the ways that you can when you can. that might be helping someone out who's in a financial pinch. That might be, again, being that opportunity to listen. And really, those are gifts. You know, when I think about the people in my life who have helped me over the years, being visually impaired, it's a really slippery slope because for me, I used to see, and then every couple years, every couple decades, my vision would get worse and worse, and now it's just really just blurry, light and dark, not really being able to see faces or any details. But I remember different like IT people telling me, you know, Nancy, I think you should learn this software, or I think you should get this device because I believe your eyes are going to change. And I'd be like, no, you're crazy. You know, I'm seeing fine and I've really harnessed this. I know how to work this. And sure enough, in like the next month or the next couple years, my vision would take a jump. That was very loving that they were looking out for me. They were witnessing all their other clients and how their vision loss was progressing. And they knew that I was so busy running a company, being and living independently, that they were like, no, I know you think that you don't need this, but let's have you learn it now. So when you really need it, you don't have to be stressed out. Thank you. Her name is Sue, for putting me on that path. So again, sometimes people can see things that we can't see. That's loving. But you have to be eyes wide open. You have to be ears open, arms wide open. And when you are able to do that, you are able to receive love, you're able to give love. And when you do that, doors will just open. The windows will open, the doors will open. Is life gonna be perfect? No, life is imperfect. But that is what the game of life is about. So thank you everybody for listening today. It is all about how being loved is gonna open those doors so you can live full out. The entire Living Full Out family thanks you for listening. Make sure you go to livingfullout.com to hear this show and all of our episodes again. And if you wanna be a guest, make sure you reach out to us at connect@livingfullout.com. Give us your name, what you went through, your contact info. We can't wait to hear from you. Here's to you living full out.
Thank you for listening to the Living Full Out Show with Nancy Soleri. To learn more about this program, visit livingfullout.com for the latest episodes. Connect with the Living Full Out community by following us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and subscribing to our YouTube channel. Here's to you, Living Full Out.